I shared a message related to the text where a leper, a man considered to be a non-person in the eyes of society and in his own eyes, comes to Jesus with a request. Lord, I know if you will, you can make me whole. And Jesus senses in this non-person a desire to live with purpose and power again, a desire to make his life count. And so Jesus says to him, of course, I will be cleansed. Jesus turns this non-person into somebody. Similarly, he encounters a mentally disturbed man, a man so uncontrolled that he is considered a threat and a danger unto himself and to others. And encountering Jesus, Jesus senses a disturbed spirit and brings healing to him. But in so doing, he disturbs a herd of swine, and they run into the sea and are drowned. And as is so often the case, people are more concerned with the loss of material possessions than they are the healing of a human being. And the crowd rushes out to see Jesus and this so-called demoniac, fully clothed, fully cogent, and they are afraid. They're afraid of Jesus' redemptive, transforming power, and they ask him to leave. Jesus obliges. But the former demoniac follows him to the boat, saying, let me go with you. And Jesus says, no. Your purpose, your mission, is to go back into your city and proclaim what God has done for you. Your role is to go back where you have lived and to give testimony to how God's redemptive transforming power has changed your life. Go make somebody else somebody. This passage came alive for me a few years ago while I was watching interview with the famed Irish golf commentator David Ferriti. Interviewing a golfing great named Tom Watson. And as they were interviewing, suddenly Ferriti's voice cracks and his eyes mist over. And he says to Tom Watson, I remember about 5 years ago, I had just interviewed you after a match, and you said to me, cut the microphone off. And I did. And you looked at me and said, you're not well, are you? And Ferriti admitted, he said, I know I'm going to die. I've lost control of my life to alcohol. I am on a destructive path. And Tom Watson said to him, you come home with me today. And he flew him with him to Kansas City and entered him into a treatment program and put David Ferriti's life back on a redemptive path. Ferriti looks at Watson and says, thank you. Thank you for doing that. And Tom Watson said, all I did for you is what somebody else did for me when I was in the same predicament. And I thought, that's what we're meant to do as Christians. Take our experience, take the truths that we've learned, sometimes the hard way. Take the lessons we've learned, sometimes through difficult paths, and use those to transform another life God has made us somebody, and we're meant to use that power to make somebody else somebody. I think of a poor black teenager who at age 15 is sure that his life is over. He's just received word that the only person in the world who's ever cared about him, his mother, has died. This young man, he was just a child, watched his three-year-old brother drown because he wasn't strong enough to pull him out of the water. He watched him drown before his eyes. And shortly after that, he began to lose his eyesight. So his mother had sent him to the St. Augustine School for the Blind, which where he was when he received the news, his mother had died. He remembered when he was home, she would take him to church every Sunday so he could hear a message, God has the power to make you somebody. But how could he, poor, black, and blind, having lost the only person who cared about him, become anything? Into his life came an old black Christian woman everyone called Ma Beck. And Ma Beck put her arm around this young man, took him under wing, and said to him, you cannot keep blaming yourself for your brother's death. And your mother would not want you to live your life going backward in grief. She wants you to live it forward. She would want you to make something of yourself. Your purpose is to open your life to God's power so that God can make you somebody. This poor, black, blind kid realized she's right. And under the advice of Ma Beck, he scrimped together a few dollars, made his way across country to Seattle, Washington, and began the musical career of the man we know as Ray Charles. When Ray Charles breathed his last, he could look back upon a house full of Grammy Awards in a Beverly Hills mansion. But what he treasured most was the ministry of an old black woman who took him under wing and filled him with a message, God can make you somebody. You and I gathered around this table, and this table expresses divine love. The God of this universe gave his son to convey to us the reality of divine love. And we're here because we have experienced that love. We're here to give testimony that God has made us through the Spirit somebody, had given us grace and wisdom and power and strength. God has gifted us, but we are not to keep those gifts to ourselves. We're not meant to gather on this table and commune only with ourselves. We're meant to go out into the world with the power of the God that made us somebody and to make somebody else somebody too. We're not simply to commune with each other, simply to affirm each other. We're meant to take the blessing we received, the power we received, and go out into the world and share it. What makes this text so acutely powerful for me this day is that what Tom Watson did for David Ferretti was not able to do for his own son. Shay Ferretti died last week on his 29th birthday of a drug overdose. nobody was able to communicate to him the wonderful words of life. Nobody was able to communicate to him there is a power that can bring you release from your addiction. Nobody was able to give him hope. Listen, my friends, listen. You and I have been given something special. Divine love. And we've been given a privilege and responsibility to share that. The world is full of Schaeferities dying for a lack of that word. Dying for that lack of power. Thirsty for that love which you and I have experienced. We gather around this table to symbolize the fact we have received power. We have been affirmed by grace. And we must take that gift out into a thirsty world and give it to those in need and bring them into this fellowship that they might feast with us. Feast with us. Let us celebrate communion. Let us underscore God's love. But let us also resolve to go out into the world and to live our faith as if somebody's life depends on it. Because the truth is, the Schaeferities of the world do. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. As often as you eat it in remembrance of me." The same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I invite you this morning to partake of the Lord's table. I remind you, it's not Dr. Krimmer's table. It's not even the table of Vineville Baptist Church. It is the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone and everyone who would claim Christ as Savior and Lord, who would claim him as role model and redeemer, is invited to partake and to share in the union we have as brothers and sisters in Christ.